Welcome to the Inside Out Money Podcast. Can't even recognize this place. Too many pieces of our past mistakes. Hi, I'm Maggie, and I believe real change starts from the inside out. So let's work together to improve our money and our lives from the inside out. We will explore all things money and our relationship with it. Join me each week with a rotating set of co-hosts, friends, and interviews. Let's jump in. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Maggie. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this discussion.
Me too. I feel like this is a pretty deep one that is financially based, but also could apply to so many things in life.
Yeah, very mindset focused, which I know are our favorite topics to do together, are the softer side of things and the more mental side of things than here's where you should put your money and why and, you know, all that stuff, which is also important.
Yeah, I think I like these topics because I'm still building myself up to the big kid table for those other topics. So this is these are the low-hanging fruit for me, but this is good. There are probably other people out there like me who might appreciate these.
I think there's more people. I think the most people out there are, as you say, like you. And I'd say like all of us, but I think the hardest part of improving your finances is getting the mental pieces right. There's learning what to do and the tactical piece. And, you know, we talk about that plenty, but I actually think you are at the adult table because you're having the adult conversations, you know?
All right. I'll take it. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for that validation.
For those who are like, what tables are y'all talking about? Welcome to the Inside Out Money Podcast. This is a personal finance podcast focused on redefining wealth from the inside out. Every week, I speak with a rotating set of co-hosts about a different financial topic to help you improve your financial mindset and tactics. Like we said, much more mindset focused today. And today we've got co-host Erica here, and we are talking about comparison and all things comparison related. I love the quote, comparison is the thief of joy. And we're going to talk about how overcoming comparison is, I'd argue, essential to financial success long term.
Yeah, I think that it's a topic that has come up in different ways for us throughout the various episodes we've discussed. And so there's a reason for that, because it is what kind of can lead you astray from your financial goals, is by comparing yourself and then going down that rabbit hole of, well, now I need this and this.
Yeah, I totally agree. I always think back to, I'm going to butcher the specifics of this, but a point in one of my favorite books of all time, which is called The Art of Happiness. It's written by the Dalai Lama and somebody else who worked with him to write it. And I apologize, I can't remember his name. But I'll put a link in the show notes to it. And they give an anecdote and just talk about comparing yourself. And basically, and this is a very Buddhist way to think about the world and see the world. And again, you could call it Buddhist, you could call it glass half full, whatever you want to call it. But that you can, you know, drive down the street and look at all the houses that are bigger than yours. And you can focus on those and compare yourself and then not appreciate or value the home you're in. Or you can drive down the street, which when I drive out of my neighborhood, within 5 minutes, I pass multiple homeless people, multiple less nice houses, less secure homes, don't have the yard we have for our kids to play in or whatever it might be. And the point is, I can compare myself to those people that, you know, might literally not have a home, or other people that could be, you know, barely scraping by, and then get in a mindset of being incredibly thankful for what I have. And it's just this concept of, you know, it's not meant to say I'm not looking down upon anyone else. I'm just choosing to be grateful for all the things I have that are more than someone else, and comparing myself in the world and having that perspective versus comparing myself to all the people who have more than me, right? So I can choose who to compare myself to if I'm going to make a comparison at all. But it just that story and point just always stuck with me. And I always think about trying to, again, if I'm going to make a comparison, which is normal to do at times, reframing it into all the things I should be thankful for.
Yeah. So focusing on the bounty of what you have, which could be defined in so many ways. I think sometimes people don't have a lot and they don't know what they're missing, and they're actually better off for it. The more we have, the more we want, the more we're craving the next thing. We just recently watched The Gods Must Be Crazy with the kids, which is such a weird movie. But the whole premise is that it's this village of bush people in Africa who have no conflict because they all share everything. So there's no getting jealous. They work collaboratively and share everything that they have. And a Coke bottle is basically littered from a pilot in the sky. And they realize all these things that they can do with that bottle, but they only have one. So then they start arguing over it. They start fighting. There's jealousy. These new emotions come up and they decide we're better off without this. Let's get rid of it. We like the way we were before. And it was a very, it was supposed to be a comedy. I don't know that movie holds up. It was very weird to watch at this stage of life, but it really had such a poignant message in that we really don't need that much out there.
What was the name of the movie again?
The Gods Must Be Crazy.
What'd you watch it on?
We rented it from the library.
Oh, I have to look it up. I think that's a really interesting kind of story and point, and I want to check that movie out. But just the idea of it's just the simplicity of life. It's almost like the less stuff we have, the less we're even in a situation to compare and to, it's like you said, they all have the same stuff and share everything and have that mentality. And then as soon as kind of more is introduced, you no longer appreciate what you have. Yeah, it's just the idea that, we're constantly chasing more and more and more and thinking that it's going to bring us happiness, which we've talked about in many other episodes. But just to really focus on this idea of comparison, right? If we're constantly comparing ourselves to others, we will never be happy and we will always be striving for more and more and more, right? And there's only one way to fix that, Do you know what it is?
It's just to stop it. Just quit doing it, right? Isn't that it?
That's totally
is it that simple?
It's that simple, right? So we can end the episode right now. Yeah. This was our point today. Thank you. Just stop comparing yourself to others and you will be happier. You're welcome.
Godspeed, everyone. Thanks for listening. Yes.
If only we had the willpower ourselves to just keep it that brief, but we have more to say on this.
Yeah, it's it's just that simple. And that's why the word just is an agitator to me. Oh, it's just that simple. Stop what you're doing. Stop comparing yourself. Well, it's in our nature to do that. But this is where we focus on the mindset of all of this, of, like you said in your Buddhist quote of looking at things glass half full, looking at the houses that make you grateful. You're able to acknowledge the things that you do have. You have control over your own thoughts and how you see things and see other people. And for whatever reason, it is in us to compare ourselves to other people, especially in terms of the things and the stuff that everyone has. And it's also in our nature to control how we react to that and how we respond. Does that make you go out and buy a new car? Probably for a lot of people. Is it in your best interest financially? Probably not.
Yeah. Or does it make you get really introspective and start to say, okay, hey, it's normal to compare ourselves, but let me check these thoughts and let me think about where they're coming from and why I'm thinking this way. And that's what, it is so much your mindset and being able to stop. That's what mindfulness is being able to recognize those thoughts where you might be looking at people who have more than you and starting to compare yourself and starting to go down some sort of rabbit hole on that, but stopping and, recognizing it, stopping, having some grace with yourself. Don't beat yourself up over it. Just recognize it and say, hey, I don't want to compare myself to that. If I have to make a comparison, let's make a comparison to how much we have. And you said the word bounty earlier, Erica. I really like that word.
Yeah, if you think about this too, with the mindfulness and these are topics we discuss often because they do all tie together. Having the time to stop and think about it is almost a luxury these days. If we go back to the episode that we recorded, a month ago or so about we have no time. And that's why we spend money on time. We don't even have time to sit and think and be introspective about why we do want the things we do because other people have them. And so a lot of what we're saying here is you can simplify your thoughts. You can simplify your stuff. It's all a practice. It's all one I'm trying to do for myself and I'm not good at. But getting to the point where you can sit, take a minute to yourself, reflect, why do I want this? Do I actually need this? This comes up a lot with the landlord, and this is why he's my inner moral and financial compass with this. Because
By the way, yes, the landlord's her husband, guys.
The landlord's my husband.
In case you're new here. That's his nickname.
That's his nickname.
To provide him some anonymity.
At this point, he's just, I've almost like forgotten what his name is. And he's he's like, can you please stop calling me that? I'm like, I would if I could. But, you know, I'll say, oh, we should get an EV. It's time for us. He's like, why? Why do we need a new car? And it's very dismissive of my flippant, we should get this. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, well, you know what? No, you're right. We don't need one. We're good. We'll get it soon. When the time's right, when the finances line up, and when we don't have two already working cars that are paid off.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll talk. I know we were joking about like, just stop. We'll get into some specific tactics aside from mindfulness, which we just talked about, to overcome the constant comparison. But I think it's worth just a quick double click on why comparing yourself to others is so dangerous. Because I know for me, like, even the way, you know, the landlord just asked you why, like, asking the question, like, why is important, right? Why don't I want to compare myself to others? What's the harm in it? And, you know, the biggest thing is it affects our mental well-being and mindset, and it is never ending. There will always be someone who has more than you. I was just listening to a story in Jeff Galloway's new book, The Algebra of Wealth.
Is that the runner guy who does the three on,
no,
one off?
No, that's a different Galloway.
Okay.
Jeff Galloway, maybe?
You just said Jeff Galloway both times.
I thought I said Scott Galloway.
No, you said Jeff Galloway. Okay, that's why I was thrown off, because I think it's Jeff Galloway.
Go. Okay, well, it's Scott Galloway is who I'm talking about.
Good
catch. The Algebra of Wealth. It's his new book. It just came out like a week ago. I'm still listening to it, but it's really good. I want to do a whole episode on it. But he tells a story where he has like a boat rental company he uses. So when he wants to go out on a boat, he's got like, you know, a fractional share in one. And he was somewhere and he was like looking over at some big yacht and he was like, who's that? And his friend who knew was like, that's Eric Schmitz. Yeah. So the CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, he was like, that's Eric Schmitz. And then he was like looking at this bigger one that's right past it. And he was like, someone was like, who's that? And he's like, well, that's Steve Jobs' yacht. He like quit building it. He died while he was building it. And he was kind of saying like, you know, he's off there looking at Eric Schmidt's yacht. Eric Schmidt has this other one that's even bigger and nicer. It's not, wasn't finished ever because the guy died.
Steve Jobs,
because he's looking at Steve Jobs' boat. And so it's just this point of like, somebody is, even though some of the wealthiest people in the world, there's still someone that has more money than almost all of them, right? And so whether you're, you know, who we are, Erica, it's just the idea of what's dangerous about comparison is that it never ends. It is a terribly negative cycle that does not have an ending to it, because for 99.99% of people in the world, there's just always somebody who's going to have more than you. And so all of that comparison, it steals our joy and contentment. You know, we did that whole episode a while back on simple joys. That was one of my favorite episodes. We'll put a link in the show notes to it, but it was one Erica and I did together. And it just, you know, the idea of comparison, it takes all that away. And that's why I love the quote, comparison is the thief of joy, because it steals your joy. And that's not cool.
Yeah. And if we're talking about simple joys, I mean, the things that truly bring us happiness for, you know, most of us, if you really think about it, like it's not the stuff we have. And so that's where scaling back your wanting more, because the more you want, the more you'll want. You know, it's just that simple. I mean, I had to really think about the hedonic treadmill as much as we've talked about it. And when you look at what the definition of hedonism is, because you know that word hedonism, and that has such a negative connotation, and it's the pursuit of pleasure and sensual self-indulgence. So it's just like all about, oh, I want more. It's like every single kid in Willy Wonka is, you know, just
hedonistic.
And yeah. So, and I bring that movie up because it's like the grossest movie to me on so many levels. But if you really think about like hedonism and put that into the way you think of the hedonic treadmill of wanting more and more and more, it's like this just kind of gross feeling that comes from it. And so when you can take it down to like the things that actually bring happiness in life, it really almost never has to do with stuff. It's, as we've talked about, it has a lot to do with experiences, having, you know, having the flexibility and the budget and the time to maybe travel, go on a nice vacation. You and I like to do that with our families. Like those are the things that we will forever remember. Some of these things, like you might want a nice car, you might want a nicer house for this or that. And these are things that make sense. But for the day-to-day needs, really like think about what you need versus what you want. And is that truly going to make you happy? And change that mindset. Like take that time to sit and ask yourself those questions and call BS on yourself if you think, you know, you have the willpower to do that.
So Erica, one of the things you just gave as an example is vacations, right? Like we often talk about, you know, experiences over things. And look, that's a personal choice for us of what we know makes us happier. But some people might like things, whatever, you do you. But on that vacations one, even then, to use it as an example, if you're constantly comparing yourself to other people, there are vacations I go on that other people can't afford to go on. And there's vacations that other people go on that I can't afford to go on, right? And so you can enjoy and go on the vacations that you can afford to go on with yourself, your partner, whoever, your family, your kids, and enjoy that. But you won't enjoy it if you're constantly comparing it to somebody else's, quote, nicer vacation that's somewhere you think you can't afford to go or that you actually cannot afford to go to, right? That's just not in your budget. And I think the point is, like, that's a really dangerous way to live. And that's a tough way to live. And, you know, back to that boat example, like Scott Galloway after the story is like, there's always a better boat. There's always a bigger boat. So quit comparing it. Like, enjoy the boat you have. And that's maybe not the best.
Well, it's like you're still on a boat, you know?
Yeah. Well, most of us don't have boats, which is why I was like, that's not the best reference because it takes a lot of money to have a boat. But, you know, if you are constantly comparing yourself to others, it will lead to bad and poor financial decisions like overspending, getting into debt, constantly inflating your lifestyle to try to keep up with the people around you. And it's just tough. And so that's why we say, like, you know, we were kind of flippantly joking, like, stop doing it. And social media doesn't help either, right? Like, that plays a huge role in it. I'm like, Erica, I am more and more thankful lately that we did not grow up with social media. Now, you know, it's tough because our kids are growing up with it and we're trying to navigate it. And we never really had to navigate it ourselves at that age. But the, you know, quote, highlight reel of social media versus reality, it creates even more unrealistic expectations that everyone's trying to compare themselves to.
Yeah, I mean, that I think social media is probably one of the worst things that can exist right now. I mean, especially, yeah, it's indistinguishable what is real these days. And so people don't, I think, like, our kids' age will have a harder time understanding
what's real.
Well,
and
just
what's normal,
like what's important, because what's,
yeah,
the things that are portrayed as, like, what am I trying to say?
What matters in life?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, every teenager and every kid kind of goes through, like, their growing pains of figuring out, you know, like, you're trying to figure out what your way of existing in your teens and high school age. Like, I watch high school movies and it just, like, ugh, you know, like you said, I'm just glad we did not have social media. I'm getting off topic. But yeah, I think social media is just one of the worst things for kids and adults. It's just not good for a lot of people. Like, you see someone spending money on a vacation that you might then try to recreate and overspend on. And that's just going to tank your mindset and your mental well-being. It all kind of, it's not a hedonic treadmill. It's just a hamster wheel of just poor decisions that never end because one follows the other. And just stop. Just quit it. Just don't do it. Don't do any of it. Get off social media.
I think it's a good time to shift to advice. And let's start with the social media one. It might be unrealistic. Look, yeah, if you can get off social media, that's a surefire way to quit having so many comparisons in your life and to quit some of the feel. Like, social media tends to not bring with it tons of positive feelings. It certainly can if done right for you, but it causes more harm than good, I believe. But that being said, let's be realistic. So if you are going to be on social media, I think one of the biggest strategies to overcome comparison is be incredibly thoughtful about who you are following on social media and what you are consuming. So, and I'm going to just use some, like, quick examples off the top of my head, but, like, you know, don't follow the Kardashians and don't follow, you know, rich celebrities or people that have way more money than you, that are doing things in life that just aren't realistic for your life, right? And so, as an example, follow more resources on stoicism and minimalism and simple living and frugal living and financial stuff. And, like, I give an example. I love Nicole at Begin at Home. It's the name of her Instagram account is Begin at Home. And we'll put a link in the show notes. She's like a mom in Minnesota. She constantly posts pictures of her kitchen and her house, and she has, like, normal dated kitchen cabinets and furniture, and she talks about just, like, appreciating and taking care of the stuff you have. And I use that as an example of, you know, her content, I think, makes people feel like they have enough and being very thankful for what they have. And, you know, follow people like us, where Erica, what year is your Lexus?
1998. Still has a deck.
That's the year you and I graduated high school, right?
Well, that was the year after you.
Oh, right. You were 99.
Yeah.
But we're close. But yeah, like, compare yourself to Erica, right? And own it. And like, I just think there's a way you can, yes, like, yeah, get off social media if that makes you feel better. That's great. But if you're going to be on social media, be really thoughtful and intentional about how you are on there and what influences you're allowing in your life, because it is a normal human behavior to see stuff and then make a comparison and have feelings about it. And so control the things around you and what you allow into your mind, because that can be a really helpful strategy to overcome comparison.
Yeah, and I don't mean to bash on social media. I tend to go off on little rants about it because I got off years ago just because I knew it was healthier for me. And the longer I've been off, I'm like, wow, I do feel a lot better. But there are ways that even like on LinkedIn, which is for work, it's still hard not to compare on there. It's just human nature. But to your point, Maggie, you can decide who you compare yourself to. You can decide how you look at things. Find the people who you aspire to be like and be like, do I practice minimalism in the same way that these people do, if that's your aspiration, for example. So it's almost impossible not to compare ourselves, but you can control who you compare yourself with if you're going to do that. And you can find the positive influences and you can avoid the negativity as much as possible, or learn to call it out when you see it.
Yeah, very true. I mean, we talked about mindfulness a little bit at the beginning of the episode, so we don't have to hit it too much more, but just the idea of mindfulness and leveraging techniques like that to recognize your comparative thoughts and emotions and to sit with them, recognize them, and try to thoughtfully move past them and say, like, that is not how I define myself, and move into a place of gratitude, right? Be grateful for all the things you do have. If you're listening to this podcast, you likely have a phone, you have internet, you know what I mean? Like, you have, and I don't mean to say like, you know, those are the things that the baseline for happiness, but you likely are in a position where you have things to be grateful for. Try to focus on that, and just practicing gratitude, I think, is a huge way to kind of shift out of a constant comparison mode.
Yeah. And in addition to that, focusing on your own unique financial journey can help keep you in line as to where you're heading, where you want to be, and why. And if any of that comparison and where that leads you deviates you from your financial journey, you know, pull yourself back in, rein yourself back in a little bit. I think it's important. I was listening to a book, Think Again by Adam Grant, and maybe we can do some sort of show on that in a way, even though it's not a financial book, but it's been a really eye-opening book. But one of the things that I pulled from that was it's more important to define yourself by your values than like your job title, the things you have. Like, what are the things that you want to be known for? And so I think that's a way to think about how you spend your money. We talk about that, like values-based spending and, you know, where and how you spend your money, whether it aligns with those values. So keep pulling those thoughts back in too.
Yeah.
When you're comparing yourself, like, well, this person, you know, they represent having a lot. Is that what I want to put out? Is that how I want to reflect?
That's a great point. I also like the thing you said right before that was just around focusing on you and where you're at and want to be. And I often think about that, like, at work. You know, there'd often be people where somebody else got a promotion and it made them feel bad about themselves, and they're thinking they should be ready for one, or they should have gotten that one, or whatever it is. And I often saw, you know, the people at work in my professional setting that were most spending all their energy focused on everyone else and what they're doing and where they're at. They weren't spending enough energy focused on themselves and where they want to be and how to get to where they want to be and what they need to do to get to where they want to be. And so I think that point of, you know, just rechanneling any feelings of comparison to other people to compare to yourself and where you want to be, right? And that vision of yourself. And to your point, Erica, the values of what you want to live, and are you living those values? And if not, what do you need to do to start to make some changes, right? And yeah, I think that just can be very helpful. Another thing I think is I think this is a tactic to help overcome comparison, but it's kind of related to social media too, is like, remember that there's often a facade you're seeing on the outside that isn't real to what's on the inside. So I'm like the queen of when we pass a big fancy house, they don't really do this anymore because they're older and I think they understand these concepts now. But when they were younger, they'd pass a big house, sometimes in our neighborhood, sometimes in another neighborhood, and they'd be like, oh my God, that's such a big, cool, fancy house. And I often, or they'd see a really fancy car. And I often was like, hey, just because they have a big house, like they would make a comment with it that's like, oh my God, they must be rich. And I'm like, hey, just so you know, they're probably in a lot of debt. And that's probably a really stressful payment. And maybe they're not. I always say like, maybe, you never know. But just because like what you see on the outside is not what you see on the inside. That's literally why, like, one of the reasons this podcast is called Inside Out Money is I want to focus more on what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. You fix the inside, which is like what's happening in our minds. You can fix the finances on the outside. And I think that, you know, the opposite point on like what's on the outside of someone's house and what you see on the facade of what you see through their social media or through, you know, what they drive or the clothes they're wearing or the purse they're carrying, it doesn't show you what's actually happening on the inside. They might be really unhappy. They might have, you know, loads of debt that's really stressing them out. And I tell my kids this, and I'm one of the ways I teach them just about how the world works and money and, you know, just what you see isn't always what you get.
Yeah, these people with the big houses might be eating ramen every night because they're house poor, because they spent all their money on their house and their fancy car.
Or they're still eating out every night, or they're, you know, eating a fancy steak, but they still can't, you know, and again, I'm not knocking it. Like, I'm not knocking having a nice big house. If you worked hard for it and you can afford it and it's not stressing you out and you've got a good emergency fund and you can, you know, take care of what you meet your financial goals in life, that's great. But where I think it's tougher is when you're not able to meet your financial goals because you've chosen things, because you're comparing yourself to others and because that's how you want to portray yourself to the world. And I just more think that's a tough way to live. So if you are someone who struggles with comparing yourself to others, I think a technique that can help is to remind yourself that what you see of others often isn't even actually who they are or equatable to their happiness, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think once you start practicing this, like most things that become a practice, they become habit. And when you can take the time, practice gratitude, appreciate what you have, slowly stop comparing, slowly start realizing, well, that person's them, I'm me. You know, you'll start getting into the mindset of doing it less, and it kind of accomplishes what we're talking about here. So the more you start practicing it, the more it will become easier to do. And then you'll get to where you're like, hey, Maggie and Erica were right. Just quit doing it. Just stop comparing yourself. And then you find that you do it less, and you actually have like more compassion and grace for other people. You know, like sometimes with comparison can come envy and a lot of other negative emotions. And I think by comparing yourself less, you have less of those negative emotions towards people who have things that you maybe thought you wanted, but you don't. But you kind of say, oh, well, they wanted that and good for them. It doesn't mean I need it. And it actually has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. There is actually a story that I think when I interviewed my mom, I like wish she told the story, but we didn't think of it at the time. There's this story that my mom has told me multiple times. And we were visiting my aunt and uncle, which was my dad's sister. And my dad's sister had a lot more money than we had. Like a lot more. And like they had a really nice, they lived on the water. They just were always like building new houses. They had like boats. They just had a lot of money, was very successful. And my mom, it was actually like my aunt's birthday or something. I was in like high school when this happened. It was like my aunt's birthday and my uncle had bought her like a new boat. I think it might actually be called a yacht. I mean, it was like not a boat. It had like rooms and it was very big. And my mom was like crying because she was sad that she didn't have, or maybe we were at their house. I don't remember if it was the boat or their house, but something. She was sad about not having what they had. And my dad looked over to her and said something like, my brother and I were on this trip, said something like, but you have these two kids. My aunt never had kids. And I don't really even know if she wanted kids, but none of these people, by the way, my aunt's passed away from cancer. My dad has passed away from cancer. Like none of these people are even around anymore. But I just always remember that story because what my dad turned to her and said was just reminding her, like, you've got these two happy, healthy children. And like, isn't that better than a boat, sort of, you know? And I just think it's an important point just to kind of tie this all up even of like, you know, we can look at the boats in the world, right? That someone's got a bigger boat than we have and we can focus on that, or we can look at what we have. And everybody has different things, right? Some people might want kids and don't have kids. And so that's not a helpful story for them, right? But there's usually something that you have that someone else doesn't have, and shifting your mindset to realizing that and being grateful for it will bring you back the joy that comparison stole from you.
Yeah. And think about the people who would trade the boat for a healthy family member, a healthy living family member. So at the end of the day, when you look back, the things you're going to remember are your health and happiness, not, I mean, you might remember the boat, but you know,
yeah.
You probably sell the boat to make sure that the people you care about are well taken care of in all the right ways.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I think we can wrap this up, but the point here is comparison is bad. So stop comparing yourself to other people. And I'm like half joking, summarizing it that way, but that's the point, right? And, you know, we just went through a number of different ways that you can help to overcome comparison, right? And try to not be so focused on constantly comparing yourself to others. And I would encourage you all to choose some steps that make sense to you and try to stop comparing yourself to other people, because it's getting us nowhere good.
Yeah. I mean, we've addressed how it steals our joy and contentment. It takes us out of the present moment of enjoying what we have. And it, in addition, and more importantly, because we're on a finance podcast, it leads to poor financial decisions like overspending and getting into debt and lifestyle inflation.
It's funny, Erica, you started this episode with making a joke about the kids and adult table, which I think started when we were doing, was that when we were doing like the end of year?
It was the end of year.
Review, yeah.
Did you notice how it looks like I am more at an adult table because my...
Yeah, you fixed your mic. You got all your mic and camera working. Yeah, you certainly look like an adult. You present
as one. Thank you. I present. Thank you. That's all I'm going for. Just the appearances.
But like your whole comment to just even like, you know, an adult versus kids table. I think about kids a lot because like, you know, kids are programmed to compare themselves. My kids compare themselves to each other. Like they see that somebody got something else. They're very focused on that and not what they have. Right. But I think it's an interesting point because look, kids are not fully developed. They don't yet have the mental mindset and strength to recognize why comparison is bad, right? And, you know, arguably, like, our brains are fully developed, but we still are constantly...
Arguably,
yes. Are constantly trying to improve our mindset and change the way we think about things for the better. And so I just... You know, the comparison thing is like, it is normal to compare yourself to other people, but we as adults, you know, it's a lot easier said to adults than to children even, but we as adults should be able to stop, notice these feelings, recognize that we don't want to have them and reframe them in a healthy way that gives us perspective and checks our gratitude and other things. And yeah, I just think that's the challenge we are all trying to do on a daily basis. And that challenge will improve our finances because it's expensive to compare yourself to other people.
Yep, I agree. I think this is a challenge I'm very excited to keep continuing.
Yeah, me too. Well, if you do want to compare the Inside Out Money podcast to other people, you could leave us a review because that's always really helpful. So I actually recently said I wanted to get to like 100 reviews by the time we hit the week of the 1 year anniversary of Inside Out Money. And we're recording this that week. But I think I'm at 98, Erica. So we're two away from 100. We've gotten some awesome reviews this week. Point being, if you've enjoyed this episode, we would love it if you want to give us a written review on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. Not because we're trying to compare ourselves to others, just because it helps other people find the show and know what it's all about.
Yeah, you can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you. Or you can leave a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on, dare I say, Instagram, but
yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're on social media.
If you're on social media, hopefully Inside Out Money is an account that is not giving you like negative comparison emotions. I mean, I'm posting things of like me cutting the ends off my toothpaste and the weird leftovers I'm eating out of my fridge because I want to eat at home and not go eat out. So I'd say there's more frugality posting than there is on splurging on things, but you know, do what makes sense for you and perhaps don't follow us on Instagram if that's going to make you compare yourself to someone who's early retired and not make you feel good about yourself, because that's not my goal. I do not want you following us if it's not going to make you feel good about yourself. On that note, great discussion, Erica, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye.